And to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, and that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. "God forbid, Lord, this won't happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stone that could make me stumble, for you are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will find them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? For the Son of Man is about to come with the majesty of his fathers with his angels. And then he will repay each one for what that person has done. I assure you that some standing here won't die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Like a good soap opera, we're on the second part of the same act of this play. So last week, we're with the disciples. Remember, they're walking from Gentile land back to Hebrew land, Jewish land. And picture them, they're on the walk, like maybe walking from San Diego all the way up to Canada. You're gonna talk about life, the universe, and everything. And in this case, they're talking about Jesus. Who are you? What are you? And remember last week, Jesus put it to us. Who do you say that I am? And Peter the Rock, last week he's the Rock. Peter the Rock says right away, "Well, we know who you are. You are sent from God. You are the Christ." And he's saying it with confidence because Peter's having one of his rock star moments. Well, but now we're walking along a little bit more. And now Jesus is, now we're to the part of, well, now you know who I am, but now do you know what's going to happen? And Jesus is telling them, I'm going to need to die. I'm kind of taking on the empire here. I'm kind of upsetting the authorities. And then Jesus, in denial, and aren't we in denial when we know someone's hurting, right? Oh, no, it's just this. No, it's this. Right? So that's what's going on here. It's Peter loves Jesus, as do the disciples. And what do you mean you have to die? And then what does Jesus say? He says, "Get behind me, Satan," or "Get behind me, tempter." We want to be tempted to take the easy road, don't we? Remember the road less traveled that we all were reading as care professionals at one time? Peck, I was like, who's M. Scott Peck used to tell us that the road less traveled is the harder one, but it's the righteous one, and it's what gets called the high road, the better road. So this is what's going on. Now listen to this also when Jesus is saying, "Get behind me." It's not like hide, it's get behind me so you can follow me. I need you to follow me to fight the ills of the world, to fight the injustices. What? Yes. So that means to say no to the empire. A living example for that, for us, might be today. Did you know we have hotel workers that have been striking for months and months and months against the corporations? All they want is $5 more an hour. That seems to be too much. So there's going to be an action this week in Anaheim for any of us that want to go. I can send you details. But right now and today, this morning, and you know when they're going to be there marching and picketing, they're doing it from 3 a.m. to 6 p.m. Because those are the times you need a maid most, aren't they? Right? So that's what it means to get behind Jesus. right? Everybody deserves a living wage. Everybody deserves to live in dignity. Amen? Amen. That's what Jesus means when he says, get behind me. Then he also says, it's going to take sacrifice. Now, I just feel like this has been written for us just for a rabbi and a pastor getting together. Because this is where we Christians kind of mess up on what sacrifice means. Are we ready to take it on? It's called atonement theology. And it's this idea that Jesus sort of unknowingly, sort of like a little baby lamb, knows that he's going to be crucified. No. Jesus knows. I know that I'm taking on the empire. I know that at this time when I'm taking on the empire, that means I will probably be crucified on a cross. Who was crucified on a cross? Political insurgents. It was a message. It was a message from Rome that says, you take me on, show and tell. Pilate was the most ruthless of these Roman emperors, Roman governors, dude in the hills, because Jerusalem was considered the outback of the empire, right? You think about where Rome is and where Jerusalem is. It's kind of like the Iowa. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You know, so that's Jim and me. We're from there. We can do that. But right, it's kind of considered the backwash. These people don't know what they're doing. Pilate, you were just supposed to let these Jews kind of worship, do their thing, sing their songs, sing their psalms. But you know what? They're acting up. So what Pilate would do is he would decide people who are acting up too much, he'd have them crucified and they'd be along the road so that you could see it. So Jesus is along that road saying, this is what's coming and I know it. But guess what comes on the other side? New life, resurrection. Jesus beats it. Jesus says, we can beat it. Now, we are never going to have struggles like this. Amen? We have freedom of speech in America. We can vote. We can protest. And we have many ancestors that have done it before us. So we know we're going to live. But there's some things that make us stuck, that we can't move forward. And so we got to sort of get, what's keeping us? What if we decide to do church different? What if we decide to do music different? What if we decide to reconfigure rooms? Remember, we had to empty the rooms before we could start something new. Remember how they were filled up with stuff, junk, things clogging our minds? New life can mean we don't have to die, but it does mean we have to move. It does mean that life is a process. It means that we have to be like jazz artists and improvise, right, Jim Sherry? And if you knew how much we've been improvising to get you worship today, you would be applauding right now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let me put it to you in this positive, God, co-creative process way of what I'm talking about. Anybody been pregnant? Anybody know anybody that's been pregnant? Right? I figure that pastors for the millennia have done enough sports analogies. I'm going to get one in for the women. Okay? All right. And I realize not all of us have been pregnant, but try to travel along with me if you can. And I, as I like to say when I do interfaith work, I am not speaking for all of the pregnant women in the whole world. I'm only speaking for me. And let me tell you a little about pregnancy, and it really made process thought real for me. Let's go. First trimester. That's between 0 and 12 weeks, right? Okay, I'm sorry if I'm going to bring any trauma up for us women or humans that had babies. But remember the nausea? No, again, I'm speaking for myself. Nausea. I couldn't stand the smell of dishes. I was so exhausted after 4 hours, I would crash at my home, and my hubby had to, like, I can't do anything. I'm dead. I've only had mono once. This feels worse than mono. I'm not even telling you about the pains, right? Because you have all the hormones going, and they're revving up to do new things, and you hurt. You hurt putting on your shirt. You hurt. You hurt. Nobody even knows you're pregnant at this point. So then you're also trying to hide it, because the doctors would tell you, and the medical professionals and midwives and would tell you, don't tell, because you're also at this high risk stage of miscarrying. But some women already knew. I remember when we did announce it to our church in my 12th week, women were all like, we already saw your back changing. So evidently our backs change and how we carry ourselves. So that's the first trimester. Also, I was scared to death. You mean I'm gonna deliver this alien out of my body? Really? Ugh, right? You all sorts of things go on. So then you're in the second trimester, 3 to 6 months. I had all sorts of more than I have right now. Can you believe that? Energy. I'm like, oh yes, I'm back to myself. It carries just right. Oh, I can be pregnant forever. This is great. Because now, you know, because, you know, I like Barbie and my Barbie fashion. So now I'm wearing the cutest pregnant clothes possible. And I can look pregnant. I look pregnant. And instead of, like, before, I had to sort of lie about, like, oh, no, I'm fine. Go ahead and serve that food in front of me. You know. Now I'm like, woohoo. Okay. All right. And then, now, 3 to 6 months, or 6 to 9 months. I'm doing math like a paddle boater, aren't I? Okay, 6 to 9 months. And now, the ankles are kind of swelling. Now I've gotten introduced to what heartburn is. Never had it before. And I'm like, oh, this is what you mean. Now, there's like, I have to go to the bathroom even more than I had to before, because I got somebody laying up here against me, and I got a, you know, pressing on me. Now, about between 4 o'clock and 4:30 every day, Isabella, is who ended up being, would decide to kick. So I would go. I made it a spiritual discipline to come home and watch Rosie O'Donnell at 4 o'clock every day, because, well, that's when she's kicking me anyway. And then she starts growing so big, there's no room for her anymore. Now, remember, I was afraid. I thought I could be pregnant forever. Now I'm like, get out. There is no room for you. And luckily, and then, because she and I are so alike, my birthday is September 22nd. Her birthday could have been September 22nd. But I negotiated with the co-creating God and said, either the 21st or 23rd. I'm not sharing. Because I was raised an only child. Why would I want to share? So, because I and the divine are intimate, we worked that out. So, September 21st, Isabella arrives after 36 hours of labor. And 2 epidurals. Yeah, I know. I'm amazing, aren't I? No. None of that was easy, but that's how new life came. Where was I going with that, huh? If I would have stopped, if I would have said, no, we're not doing this, that would be dire to both of us, wouldn't it? It's hard to create new life. We are asking ourselves to do the miraculous, and especially for those who have ovaries and those who can deliver, we actually can create life. But if we try to stall it, it's disaster. Jesus does not want to stall our creative walk. Jesus does not want us to stall in the life of Fairview Community Church. We are going to be asked all sorts of new things. What do we do with our property? Can we really have 2 drummers and 2 pianists on our stage at the same time? Yes, we can. Are we going to maybe invite other new staff and new configurations? We have to keep moving to keep growing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It might be scary. It might go, we've never done it this way before, but we've never been here before. I never was pregnant before. I didn't know how to do that. And I called on God a lot. Do we all remember those days, right? Especially during those 36 hours. But then I like to say that was really the hardest part of bringing a new life and mentoring that life and being co-creative with that life. And now today she's 26 years old. She's doing all right because I was willing to take the chance to go through and have her. So when God says, get behind me, Satan, God's saying, don't let the obstacles of we've never done it that way before, or whoa, this is different, or why do we have to do this? It's because, it's not because of bad, it's because it's new. It's new life. So are we ready to keep traveling down the road with Jesus? Amen. And to follow Jesus and to be with Jesus? Because we have so much to offer on this corner. I cannot tell you how often I have met somebody that's recovering from a not open and relational relationship with God, church. That was a lot to say, but y'all got what I mean, right? Because it's harder to be open and relational than it is to be authoritative, and tyrannic. How about that? So, let's relate, let's love, and let's make something new. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.